We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. We are so glad that you took this opportunity to spend your time with us. We are going to be in Isaiah chapter 60 today. We pray that this program will be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of the Lord, and that it will be pleasing and acceptable to you, and that it will challenge you as you live this day for the glory of the Lord. The last part of verse number 7 of Isaiah chapter 60 says, "And I will glorify the house of my glory." I will glorify the house of my glory. And so when you realize that that is a promise, I don't know about you, but as the temple of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" That I want God to be glorified in my life. I want him to glorify this house. And what I've got here is I want him to take me to a completely different level. I want him to take me from faith to faith. I don't want my faith at 60 to be the same level of faith that I have now. I want to be believing God for more. You know, on yesterday's program, I was sharing with you about praying for your pastors with provision. And I remember back in the 80s, back in the 1980s, my wife and I, we were having to believe God for about $1,000 a month. That was our total budget. We didn't have too much in the way of bills. But we needed $1,000 a month. And it was tough back in those days. It was. And at the same time, as I was believing for $1,000 a month, there was a person that was in ministry, and they made this statement: "I have to believe God to bring in $1 million a day for the cost of this ministry. $1 million a day." And that wasn't Sundays off. That was, you know, 365. That was the budget of their ministry. And I talked to a minister a few years ago who had retired from a position, and he said, "Now when I take a position, I say, I don't want a budget. I don't want to be responsible for a budget. I don't need a secretary. You want me to do a job for you, I will do a job for you, but I don't want the responsibility." And I will tell you, I knew this guy before that job, and I saw him, or I knew of him before that job. I saw him again after that job, and he had described how he was responsible for raising a $100 million a year budget. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of responsibility. And I tell you what, it aged him. So as I share this with you today, that God wants to take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, understand that he's not going to make that leap all at one time. He will cause you to be able to get there step by step, incrementally growing your faith to where you can do great and mighty things for God. God will glorify. If you will glorify God, God is going to make sure that the lost are brought to where you are. You know, our greatest treasure at Merritt Assembly of God, it's not dollars. Believe it or not, our greatest treasure is not the missionaries that we support, although we are greatly honored to be able to partner with missions. Our greatest treasure is when God says, "I'm going to trust you to train this person in the ways of my word. I'm going to trust you to lead them to my lordship." You see, that's what our greatest treasure is. People are the greatest treasure in any church. So with that being said, how do you glorify the house of the Lord? Is you God will glorify it by bringing more people there so that you can sow the words of life into them. God will glorify. Let's look at verse number 8. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roost? Surely the coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. So let's look at verse number 9. People are attracted with all their resources to the name of the Lord. You see, God's ways are never going to be inferior to the devil's ways. The devil's ways are always going to be defective. Last weekend, I won't tell you the name of the restaurant, but last weekend I took some time and got away, spent some time with the Lord. I was teaching on Saturday, and so I spent a couple extra days. I actually wasn't in church at Merit Assembly of God last Sunday morning. We were worshiping with a friend of ours up in the Jacksonville area. I came back and preached Sunday night. But I went to a restaurant. I've eaten there before. I've eaten at this particular restaurant before. It's a chain restaurant, and I always look forward to eating there because I don't eat there a lot when I'm in Brevard County. It's not that close to me. And so I ordered my favorite dish there, and when I did, it was a chicken dish, and when I cut into it, it made a sound that it doesn't normally make. It, you know, chicken just kind of, you cut through it. It's good when it is a nice quiet sound. And this made a very different sound. And so I cut it up, and I was like, well, maybe over here. And every place I cut, it made the same sound until I got to the very end, and then it made an even louder sound. And it's like, man, that sounds like cartilage. It doesn't sound like chicken, or doesn't sound like chicken. And so I tried a couple of bites, and it just wasn't good. I generally don't ever send food back. It's not something that I do. I'm very thankful for the food, but that I was concerned for my health at that point in time, not because it wasn't, you know, meeting with the sound my ears thought that it should. But here's the reason that I'm telling you this story is, the waitress said, oh, I'm sorry, I'll bring you another one out. And the next thing I know, the general manager is standing there, and he said, sir, is there anything else that we could get you from the menu? Because we've had a number of people who have complained about this particular dish, so we must have gotten a bad batch of chicken. And so he was saying, okay, you're not the first person that's done this, which made me feel better. And he said, unfortunately, you're not the second person there. And so there's something obviously wrong. And so I'm going to steer you towards a different product on the dish because I want you to enjoy your eating experience here. And so I was turned away from what I thought that I wanted to something else, which was really good. But it was that, you know, I don't know if I'll ever order that other dish there again. God's products are never defective. The love of Jesus Christ should always be attractive. Now, there are some people who can reject it. Okay. By the way, if you've never been rejected, then, you know, congratulations to you. But I want to tell you something. You'll end up growing in the process whenever you do encounter and have to deal with rejection. Jesus was rejected. And so people are attracted to the name of the Lord. They may be turned off by your personality. They may be turned off by your preaching style. They might be turned off by your hair. I've had people told me that they didn't like the sound of my voice. There have been people who've told me a number of things that they didn't care for about my physical makeup. Not makeup. I don't wear makeup. I just wanted to make sure you understood. I can be too short, I can be too tall, I can be too fat, I can be too skinny. There's a lot of things. Some people, get turned off because I happen to be missing a finger on my right hand. That gets a little, that you can be rejected for a lot of things. But when you start living for the glory of the Lord and He starts glorifying His presence in your life, people are attracted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you turn to Galatians chapter 5, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse number 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so right before that are considered the works of the flesh from verses 16 through 21. And then there's the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, against such things there is no law. So I want to ask you, who doesn't want more love in their life? Who doesn't want more love in their heart? Who doesn't want more joy? Who doesn't want to live in peace? Who doesn't want more patience exemplified to them and manifest in them? You and I can always be more kind. We can be more good, and there's none good but God. Who doesn't want more faithfulness? And who doesn't want gentleness and self-control? Those things are attractive to unbelievers. They want to know, what do you have that I don't have? And so people are attracted to the Lordship of God in you, and they are attracted, listen to how verse number 9 concludes, and to the Holy One of Israel, because He has glorified you. Do you realize that Abraham at one point in time said to people, after he delivered the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and some other towns, because Lot had been living there and been carried off into captivity as a prisoner of war, Abraham and his 318, I believe it is, men who were trained came and did and defeated the army that five other towns could not defeat. And they said, give us the people and you take all of the goods. We're just glad to be free. We just want the people. We want the people. You take the money, we'll take the people. And Abraham said, no, I don't want you to go away saying that you were the one that made Abraham rich. I don't want you to have any claim to have been the source of the process that God uses to transform me from a nomad with very little to a person who was very, very rich. David was a shepherd and wasn't even given enough consideration to be invited to his own anointing service as the king. And so you would think, what is this guy's chance of success? But if you look at the end of his life, you would see that he not only had left quite a treasury on a national level, but out of his own personal treasury, he gave what is estimated to be approximately $1 billion towards the construction of what is known as Solomon's Temple. He carefully planned all the silverware. He knew what was in the heart of God, and all Solomon had to do was follow the instructions. And folks, he was considered the wisest man that had lived at that point in time. And I pray that you and I would be endued with wisdom from on high, and that we would be known as wise people because we walk in obedience to the instructions of God. Now, I'm gonna turn in my Bible here and see if I can find this real quick. I want to talk to you about Solomon, because Solomon was walking. He was blessed. He was favored. I'm looking in 1 Kings. To be honest with you, I didn't write this down in my notes. So, just let me see if I can find what it was. Is in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon begins to operate with the wisdom that God has, and he provides a solution to a problem that there wasn't a solution for. He didn't have DNA testing. He was able to discern all that was going on. And the passage that I'm looking for is the Queen of Sheba. She comes, and it might be in Chronicles. So give me just a moment there. I'm looking. There's something that I want you to see from this passage. The Queen of Sheba shows up because she had heard about all of the fame. She had heard about all that God had done. And she said, I had to come and hear it for myself. I had to come and experience it myself, because what I heard was just more than I could really comprehend. And so... And she says in there that I have heard of your fame. I apologize that I'm not able to find this. Oh, here, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Listen to this. This is verse number 1. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great retinue, camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on his throne to be king for the Lord your God. Behold, because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore he has made you king over them to do justice and righteousness." And then she just started blessing the king with all sorts of resources, and he sent her away with more than what she had brought to him. But the reason that she came was because of the greatness of God that she had heard about. She had heard about his wisdom. She had heard about his fame. And she began, listen, people began to show up before Solomon. What you need to understand about showing up before a king in those days is you did not show up empty-handed. If you were seeking audience with a king, you came and you brought not just a gift, but you brought of your best. Several years ago, I was teaching in Fiji. I was teaching via Skype. And when the missionaries showed up at the end of the school year, they came bearing gifts that the people from the students in Fiji had made for me or had sent on my behalf. And one of them was a weapon, and the other one was a fork. It was a Fijian fork. But both of these, the really tremendous value in the gift was, they said, "Pastor, they only give these to chiefs. They don't give these to the average ordinary person. These were meant for people who they esteemed to have great value. And because you have poured the word of God into them, they wanted to present you with this great, great gift." And they said, you probably will not fully comprehend the value, not the monetary value, but the value and the honor that they have placed upon you with these gifts. And so I want you to know that God used that as a source for a message that I preached, and I came and I brought both of those out, and I set them out on the altar. And that day, as I presented the word of God, I explained to them what these gifts were. One was a weapon and the other was a fork. One was for war and the other was for feasting. And I said, what we in America need to realize is that we need to appreciate the table of the Lord, and we do that when we celebrate communion. But we also need to fully appreciate that God has equipped us for spiritual warfare, and we need to take up the weapons of our warfare in the spiritual sense, and we need to utilize those things for His glory. The problem is more people are interested in the gluttony of availability at God's table of feasting than they are about engaging the enemy of men's souls and seeing captives delivered. So that was quite a detour from the notes that I had written down here. So hopefully that message will resonate with someone and it will make an impact upon your life, because I want God to be able to, I want to enjoy His provisions, but I also realize that I've got a great privilege that I need to be engaged in spiritual warfare as well. Don't be afraid for God to, if He chooses to exalt you, don't be afraid of that process, because God never makes a mistake. And God, He only says, "Come up higher," when you are ready to come up higher. And that's a motivation for me. That gives me a spirit of contentment and discontentment at the same time. It is contentment in that God has placed me exactly where I can thrive, but there is also a discontentment that says, "God, I want to be so faithful here that You will be able to be glorified in my life in a manner that more people will be drawn to You." And so I know that He has placed me for safety. He's placed me for purpose, and He has placed me where I'm going to thrive. I'm not going to be destroyed by being elevated too fast. The enemy wants to do that to you. The enemy wants to do that to you. You know, I can look back in the rearview mirror of my ministerial history, and I can see times where, you know, that temptation, that mindset was there for me. I can also tell you that through many, many years and thousands of people that I have ministered to, that I have seen people who were more interested in exalting themselves, and it led to their own downfall. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so I want to challenge you to serve the Lord honorably, to honor the name of the Lord, to exalt the word of the Lord and the name of the Lord above all other things in your life, to say yes to his plan, yes to his will, to walk in faithful obedience and walk in a manner that God is seen as glorified in you, so that other people will be drawn to the same good God that has redeemed you and has redeemed me. What he has done for others, he can do for you. Okay? Don't let pride put on a different mask and all of a sudden you are depriving yourself of the goodness of God. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so today, you and I, we get to make that choice. Are we going to be attractive to the lost, or are we going to be repulsive to them? You see, God hates pride inside the church as much as he hates pride outside of the church. So I pray that we will conduct ourselves in such a way that the fruit of the Spirit is seen in greater display in our life. The way that you do that, okay? We talk about that. Here's the way that you do that. The way that you produce the fruit of the Spirit is the same way that an apple tree produces apples, or a peach tree produces peaches, or an orange tree produces oranges. The branch stays connected to the trunk of the tree. The tree is grounded with the roots, and the nutrients naturally flow from the source to the fruit, and the fruit is produced in its multiple stages. Okay? Originally, there was going to be a green shoot, if you will. There's going to be a bud. There's going to be a blossom. Then there's going to be an infantile piece of fruit. And then there's going to be a mature piece of fruit that is ready to be a blessing to someone's life. Don't despise where you're at. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Glorify God where you are. If you work at a fast food restaurant today, or if you work at a place that washes cars, do your best to the glory of God. God will cause you to serve with greatness and distinction because of his glory. Father, I pray in Jesus' name today that all of us would be vessels that would make attractive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to those around us. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."